in Revelation chapter into the 16th chapter. And I heard a voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Amen. Now this is the beginning of the judgment. And you'll notice the message on the 15th chapter, how we dealt in the realm of the mercy seat, showing you there's no more mercy. There's no more intercession being made, so there's nothing to stop the wrath of God. Did God, let me say this again, and I want to make a point here. Jesus Christ is not sitting here in the temple as a high priest now. Remember, in the Old Testament, we saw the God of wrath. Notice this. The God of wrath was revealed in the Old Testament. Amen. But mercy and truth came through Jesus Christ, didn't it? And the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, teaches He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. Amen. And the book of Timothy, it teaches there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But here we see that is moved out of the temple. Out of that realm, so what is revealed to the people is the God of wrath that was seen in the Old Testament. Amen. That has to be before these begin to be poured out. Remember in the days of Moses, when God's wrath would begin to be poured out among the people, He would run among the people and make intercession for them and stop the wrath. But there's nothing here to stop the wrath. Amen. How many sees that now? There's nothing here. There's nobody to run in between God and the people that stopped the wrath. Moses was a type of Jesus Christ that came between the people and the wrath of God. Now there, Jesus Christ has moved out of that high priest sitting here, and there's no one to run in and stop the wrath. Therefore the temple was full of smoke, and a voice came from among out of the temple and said, go your ways and pour out the wrath, and there was nobody to stop it. Amen. What about, where's Jesus? He's somewhere with a bride. Amen. No doubt we're enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb while these great wrath of God is being poured out here. So it shows again the God of the Old Testament. Amen. The God of the Old Testament speaking and saying, go pour out your wrath, and nobody can stop it. Amen. Do you see the hour we're living in? Do you see the time period that, please get this tonight. Do you see the time period the blowing of the seventh trumpet open up? Amen. The Ark of the Covenant was seen. Hey, that's in the 11th chapter. Was seen all the way back. There's no more intercession being made. It opened up a time period that God could just pour out His wrath, and He would do it tonight. That's why I hold the wrath of God back. There's an intercessor there, isn't it? Even on our own lives. When we fail God, come short of the glory of God, the wrath of God can't get to us, amen, because that blood buffer there, isn't it, between us and God, that mercy seat there, that slain lamb is still there, but one of these days it'll be gone, one of these days there'll be absolutely nothing to stop the wrath of God. And here it's pictured here as God began to pour out His wrath upon the earth. Amen. The final seven seven bowlfuls of gasoline that God's going to pour upon the brush pile to burn it up, to get rid of it. Amen. There's nothing here to save now. All this that's left of humanity that worshiped the beast and has worshiped the devil, worshiped the image and took the mark of the beast, what God's going to do? He's going to destroy it. He's going to burn it with fire. Amen. And there's nobody to run between God and the people and say, wait a minute. Amen. Tonight, if God's wrath would turn loose on us, we still got a lamb there. Amen. Jesus said, wait a minute. I stood for Him. I died for Him. You know, like that. But in that hour, there'll be nobody to come between you and God. It'll just be the God of wrath of the Old Testament expressing Himself in wrath like He did way back then when 20 and 30,000 would die when the anger of God burned against the people. Amen. Now let's look at the Word of God now with this thought in mind. The voice came out. Notice the voice came out, and this is not the voice of Jesus here pictured, the voice of the intercessor. It's the voice of Jehovah, the Eternal Spirit, saying, go your way. Amen. Notice all that's seen in there is smoke, the glory of God. And the seven angels come forth. And verse 1, let me get it again. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And there's nobody tried to stop them. There was no blood, no nothing, no mercy. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore up on men, which had the mark of upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. Now I want you to notice here, when this first vial is poured out, amen, what does it affect? It affects directly men. It's poured out upon people. And it's those that worship the beast, took the mark of the beast, and those that worship his image. Now we know what the beast is. It's a world system of the European Middle East countries there where the beast will be incarnated there. Amen. And this image here represents all Protestant denominations that have been built up into a world, one world church to worship the beast. It's in the image of the beast and so forth, and it will require worship as we covered in the 13th chapter. But I want you to notice, when the vials poured out, it's not poured out upon men to judge them, to try to get them to repent. Amen. It's poured out upon men as direct wrath from God. Now, when the trumpets began to sound, that was a different thing. That was judgments trying to awake the nation of Israel to get them to see what they were about to get into. And you know, when the first trumpet sound, when there was hail, fire, and so forth fell from the earth, you know what it fell on? It fell upon the green trees and the green the grass. Let's read that in the 8th chapter here. I'm going to show you there's 7 trumpets, show you how these parallel with the 7 vials when God began to pour out the vials without mercy. Verse 6 here of the 8th chapter, this is the trumpets now. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees, hold that, the third part of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. How many knows why that is? It's the message, the ministry of Elijah closing the heavens. But notice, it's not judgment upon men. It's God shutting the water supply off so that he could try to talk to Israel. Let them know. It was God was going to show mercy on the 144,000 and the woman we preached about in the 12th chapter. So he poured out the wrath, the vial, the trumpet here, or the trumpet, when he poured sound this trumpet, the wrath of God did not fall on men. Now, do you see it? What did it fell on the trees and on the green grass? It was God trying to wake Israel up. Amen. God's pouring out. But when he poured out the vial in the 16th chapter, the first vial, amen, notice it was not on grass, it was not on green trees, but what was it on? It was on sinful humanity. Amen. How many sees it was just God's wrath, God's judgment being poured out upon men that had already worshipped the beast, that have already took the mark of the beast, and that have already worshipped his image. Amen. Glory to God, when the trumpet was sounding, there was no beast to worship in that sense. It was just coming into the making. Because the beast only requires worship there at the middle of the week. So this is past the middle of the week. This is God's time of pouring out judgment upon those men that have rejected all and spurned all of God's mercy. Alright. Now let's get to verse 3 now. And get to the second vial. We're going to get these vials here pretty shortly. And the second angel poured out his vial, or his bowl, upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. Now I want you to watch, this year is a worldwide thing, God judging this world. It wasn't God judging the nation. Notice when the trumpet, if you want to refer to them, And, well, let's just do that. The trumpets over here show you how it was poured out upon the third part of the sea. Amen. Let's get at verse 8 here of chapter 8, and it'll help us just compare these here. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now notice, when the trumpet sound, it was dealing with Israel. It was Moses over there turning that the Mediterranean Sea. It wasn't the Pacific Ocean. It wasn't the Atlantic Ocean. It wasn't the South China Sea. Amen. But it was that Mediterranean Sea over there that Moses turned to blood. But over here, when God poured out the vials, the water is turned to blood. Amen. He poured out the vial upon the sea and it became blood. And it's the judgment of God, and it's not confined to the nation of Israel. How many sees that now? Because the whole world, by this time, the prophetic world had worshipped the beast and so forth in his image. So God began to pour out his vial. In other words, he pours another can of gasoline on the fire. There's things that will happen around the world in places that God ordained. Now, God's going to spare some people out of all this. Let me stop right here just to set the record straight for you. In all this wrath, in all this judgment, in everything, there's going to come a living element of people out here to go into the millennial reign. How he knows it? Glory to God to repopulate the earth. And when Jesus Christ himself made his final descent, there's going to be people by the thousand that he's going to gather up and judge and separate as the sheep from the goat. So in these seven vials, when God pours this judgment out, all men are not going to die. Amen. But there's no restraining place around the world. God is not confining this to any certain locality like he was when the trumpet sounded. How he sees it? He was dealing with Israel when the first few trumpets sounded. But here he just pours it out on the whole world. Now notice, the second trumpet has to do with a sea turning to blood. The second vial has to do with a sea turning to blood. But the trumpet only turned a third part, the Mediterranean. And this year, second vial has no limitation, just wherever God wants it. Now how many sees that? Wherever God wants it, it has no limitation. Glory to God. So we could comment more on that, but we'll go on. All right, let's get the third vial here. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the river and the fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast thus judge, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar saying, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous art thy judgment. Amen. Now I want you to catch that word, even so. Lord God Almighty, true and right. Lord God Almighty. Amen. Now, I want you to notice that. Here is judgment being poured out by the Lord God Almighty. There is not a high priest sitting in the temple to stop it. This is the hand of God. This is the eternal spirit. This is the one that judged the people in the Old Testament. This is the one that in the days of Noah, when his wrath began to burn, when judgment began to be poured out, there was no one to stop it. There was no intercessor. This nation would have long been sunk. This nation would have long been bombed out. But there's been mercy. There's been one there sitting on the mercy seat waiting for the bride to get ready. There's been a blood buffer to stop the wrath of God. But here there's nothing. It's the Lord God Almighty of the Old Testament pouring out His judgment, turning the rivers of the waters of the land, of the world, into blood. And men die from the plagues. Not necessarily every river. Amen. It's those, God knows how to spare those that He has, that there's some quality in. Amen. But there's no one here to run between God and His judgment. So He began to pour out His wrath. Now let's look at the third trumpet here in the 8th chapter. Just compare it with the third vial. Notice it dealt with the rivers of water and being turned to blood. Now notice here in the 10th verse here, as the third trumpet sounded, it's dealing still with the third part, dealing with Israel. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a star from heaven, burning as it was a great lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountain of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third, notice the third part of the water became wormwood, and many men died of the water because they were made bitter. Now how many sees this? It's a limited judgment. Notice there's still mercy. There's still the ark. Let me say this. The ark in the test, the ark of the covenant was still there in heaven. There was still a restraining force. There was still some mercy as God began to deal in the trumpets. Amen. And it only affected the third part. It was a limited judgment, a warning judgment. God trying to get to the people. But when the vials poured out, there's no limitation on it. Amen. It's just God's wrath poured out without mercy. All right. This is getting over towards the last of the 70 week of Daniel. Now let's look to the fourth one here. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now watch this. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give glory to God. Now notice that last part of that. And they repented not to give glory to God. It is a privilege to repent. Amen. It's a grand privilege that God has given humanity. That they can come to the place where they can realize God's mercy is dealing with them. And they can repent and call upon the name of God. How many knows it? Amen. But here that privilege is taken away. There is no place found within them for repentance. It records in the Word of God one name, Esau. When he sold his birthright, he fell away from God. And he realized that that he'd lost his birthright. He tried to repent, but there was no repentance granted to him. Amen. So here, man have progressed and their hearts have become hardened. And there was no spirit. The Holy Ghost is the one leads you to repent, doesn't it? Amen. And the Bible says the love of God spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of Christ that draws you. The Bible says no man can come to God except the Spirit draws. And here it shows a time period. And can't you see in this great nation of ours, for the last few years, how this great cooling off taken place, and there's no spirit drawing to repentance. Can you see by the time of the last of the 70 week of Daniel, man's heart will be so hardened, there'll be nothing to repent. There'll be no repentance at all. Amen. Now notice this fourth vial is poured out on the sun. Amen. And whatever God does, there was a little something came out in a news magazine that we had recently. It has in there about the planets lining up in 82, I believe it said, and said that God caused heat waves come to the earth and so forth. Amen. But we don't not base that on the word, not saying that's the word of God or anything, and whatever God will do to the sun at this time, but it will literally scorch me. They will literally be scorched, and the sun will become so hot they'll be burnt with fire. Scorched with fire, and they'll blaspheme God, and they won't even repent. They won't even call upon God to have power over these plagues. Now I want you to watch when he poured out, and when the fourth trumpet sounded, it affected the sun too. These angels, they know that fourth angel. Notice that, friend. That fourth angel, it knows, it evidently knows something about the sun, because it was in charge of stopping the sun shining over here in the, when the fourth trumpet sound. Listen at this here, verse 12 here of chapter 8 of Revelation, showing you the trumpet and comparing it with the vial. Because this trumpet is a warning judgment. Over here, the vial is just God's judgment poured out without mercy. Verse 12 of chapter 8, it says, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so also the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." I want you to notice that, friend. When the fourth trumpet sounded, it dealt with the sun. It was God cutting off the lights. Amen. Watch what happened. It was God cutting, it was still mercy. But brother, after that seventh one sound, you can't find no mercy. You can't find no mercy. You can't find no mercy after that seventh trumpet sound, because the mercy seat seen. Amen. The veil in that temple's rent. It opened the holies of holies. And that holies of holies in heaven signified, just like it was when Moses, God gave Moses the rent, the pattern. He said, "Make it like the pattern is in heaven." Amen. Of the tabernacle. And in the holies of holies where mercy, where the people got mercy, or where they got judgment. Amen. Where the God either accepted the sacrifice or rejected it. So notice, the fourth angel, when the trumpet angel sounded, it affected the sun for a third part of the day, but, amen, but instead of God scorching men with fire, it was mercy. He just cut the lights off trying to wake them up. Amen. It was a warning. It was letting them know that they're in trouble, to look to God, to call upon God. Amen. But here, when the fourth vial is poured out, he just pours it out on the sun. That angel calls flames to reap. To leap from that sun and scorch men while they live right here on earth. It's God's judgment. He's judging fallen humanity. Amen. And this is going to take place, friend, in this generation. Amen. Now let's go on a little further. And that is four of the vials that's poured out now. And watch now as we get to the fifth one. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongue for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Now, where'd they get them sores? Amen. Where'd they get all this pain? Amen. It's the result of that first angel pouring out his vial. Amen. In verse 2, when that first angel poured out his vial upon men that rejected God, there was grievous sores and plagues fell upon them, and they still got them down here when the fifth angel poured out his. Because of angels, they pour out these bowlfuls of wrath right close together. But notice in the fifth one here, the beast, he poured out upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Amen. His kingdom become full of darkness. What is it? Amen. The Pope will succeed through the beastly system. They will succeed in a world order. And it will look good to the natural man. And they will have a degree of order. But long here, when the gods begin to pour out his judgment, the thing that the Pope thinks he's got control over, the angel will pour out his vial upon the seat. And where's the seat of the beast at? It's the city of Rome, the Vatican. Even though the Pope himself will move into Jerusalem, the business and everything got to be carried on from Rome. Because the Vatican is a big place. I believe it covered about 26 acres there, the biggest financial institution in the world. There's business going there, and it could never move all of that into the temple. So the seat, the authority of the Roman church where it projected from will still be from Rome. And when this angel poured out his vial upon the seat, everything goes into confusion. Everything goes into confusion. And all of a sudden they quit obeying the Pope and everything. And watch what happened. Let me just read it again. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. There's no order, no light, no nothing. It just goes into confusion. The Pope here began to get to a place where he's unable to control his subjects. Amen. And God permits this situation to come. It's poured out. It's become full of darkness. I mean, there's no order. Demons dwell in the region of darkness. And demons, they feed on confusion. Amen. That's the reason a lot of people today, they're bothered by demon spirits. There's confusion. Amen. God's not the author of confusion. How many knows it? Amen. But God remove all restraining powers, and that Roman church, it goes into confusion here. Amen. It pours it right upon the seat of the Pope. And his kingdom become full of darkness. Amen. How many sees that now? Glory to God. God's getting ready to judge. God is getting ready now to destroy Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, the image of the beast. At this time, you know what? Anarchy began to break out all over the world. Now catch this before I go on. Anarchy began to break out all over the world. And you know what the communistic leader says, them ten horns, when they see this begin to take place, they know something going wrong. They know this thing that they've trusted in. They know this thing that they've supported, that lent their support to. They begin to see it fall apart. They begin to see a world order that has been set up that can no longer stick together. It begin to come unglued. And they begin to say, this is our time. God right then put it in the heart of those ten nations. Amen. They begin to get in their heart right then to destroy Rome. Because God put it in their heart to fulfill His will. All of it is a result of what they see taking place in the religious realm. They've just witnessed a bloodbath. Amen. Now they see that Rome has killed the Christians, the Jews, and put down the enemy, her enemy. Amen. It was given to her to make war with them, and she overcame. Revelation 13. How many remember us getting that? Amen. How the beast, it was given unto the beast to make war with the saints. Amen. And the beast overcame the saints. But the fact that the beast overcame the saints and murdered them, that was the victory for the saints. Because they stood on the sea of glass, amen, having gotten victory over the beast. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. But here, once Rome thinks she's getting everything set pretty good, that fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat. Amen. Become full of darkness. The authority of that seat just come unglued. It go into chaos. It go into confusion. And here the Roman spirit, not the Roman spirit, the communistic spirit, says, this is our hour. They begin to make their bid to come, and they right then enter into their heart to destroy Rome, because they see that they've been deceived. And they see there that there's nothing to it, that system is not able to give the world what it has promised the world. So they say, the church has failed, now's our hour. Now's our hour. All right, the fifth. All right, we could deal with that more lengthy, but I'm not going to do it. You Bible scholars, if you'd like to study further. Notice the fifth trumpet. What was it? That's the fifth vial. I'm going to compare these trumpets here. Let's get over here in the ninth chapter to show what happened. Now, notice darkness came in. Darkness came on the seat and the authority of Rome. Everything went to confusion. But notice that the fifth trumpet here. Chapter 9. It's only opening up the force. It says here, verse 1, and the fifth trumpet sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened. These demons coming forth. And let's just read a little more of this right here on the ninth. I want to get just a little more of this here. Under the trumpet here, to show the trumpets how it corresponds with the vial. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the power of scorpions of the earth. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the green grass, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God on their forehead. I want to show that verse 4. You know what it shows? The 144,000 are still here. They're sealed with God. These demons can't hurt them. Amen. But by the time these vials poured out, the ministry of that 144,000 is winding down, is being finished up. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of that beast that have caused havoc over the earth, and it become darkness. Notice the darkness in each one. When the trumpet was poured, blowed, and when the vial was poured, both caused darkness. But it was in a different way. Amen. That was just letting the demon loose that fifth at the middle of the week. How many sees that now? Catch that. Don't miss this here, friend. That was at the middle of the week when that trumpet sound let the demon loose. How many sees it? Amen. This is over here at the long towards the last of that 70 week of Daniel, just before Rome is destroyed. Amen. Alright, let's go on now. Notice the Catholic Church lose hope. Lose her reign. You know what it is? It's actually the invitation to let them 10 communistic kings, and I'm sounding repetitious, I know. But if you don't get it right here, you won't get it. It's a signal to those communistic kings, 10 horns on the beast. Now's your time. Now's your time. And it's just a short period of time till they destroy Catholicism. Amen. Notice verse 12 now, the sixth angel pouring out his vial. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Alright, notice here. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the devil himself. Out of the mouth of the beast. And of course, that's the incorporated beastly system that he has got on earth. These devils, they were confined. It signifies almost exactly, it's just the furtherance of the fifth vial. And notice, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Here are these spirits that was confined to a certain region, a certain job, and they work within this system. Notice of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. In Revelation 17, that woman's riding that beast. But here these demons are loosed. Confusion hit. These demons go forth all over the world. And it's permitted by God in the middle of this week that these demons go forth. Now watch what verse 14 says. And they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Amen. Now listen, friend. This is the first time demons were actually permitted by God to go into the region of the Far East, in the China, in the Vietnam, and all those Far Eastern nation, into the Orient, to gather those kings together to bring them to the battle of Armageddon. Notice, catch this. These frogs, this is a vision John sees, but what better way to picture a demon coming out of the mouth of the beast, the false prophet, and so forth down, a slimy old frog. This is a vision, but the next verse says this is spirits of devils. John couldn't see a spirit, could he? These frogs typify that. It shows a breakdown of the beastly rule. It shows a breakdown. Amen. Notice the fifth vial, it caused darkness in the kingdom. Roman Catholicism began to fall apart, but here God opened the thing up. Amen. And it puts it, these demons go forth into the Far East and they work miracles. Now, did you hear on the news today? And I'm watching this close because I see the hand of God. Amen. I see, and people, there's Vietnam trying to warm up to the United States, China trying to warm up. But China and Vietnam, they're at one another's throat right now, almost at the point of war, isn't it? And there's Cambodia and Laos and all fighting Vietnam there, and they're fighting among themselves. They can't get together. They'll never get together until these devils are loose and go down in there, and these devils go forth and work miracles. They'll unite the whole Far East. China, Vietnam, Tibet, Cambodia, Laos, and all those nations there, Far Eastern nations, they'll all unite together. These devils go forth working miracles. Now, let me get this. These miracles are not healing the sick. These miracles are not raising the dead, but these are political miracles. It would take a political miracle right now to unite China and Vietnam. These devils go down, but they'll do the job. Now, I want to get on this trumpet over there. You know what the blowing of that sixth trumpet does? It puts them, it begins to gear them up to put them in uniform. Amen. 200 million men will be mustered together for that great battle of Armageddon. Amen. Now, before I finish this, let's refer to the blowing of the sixth trumpet. Show you it gears the world up for war. It puts the Far East in uniform. Amen. Amen. It's not dealing with a 10 horns here. Alright, let's get verse 13 of chapter 9. It says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the sixth trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river of Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year, to slay the third part of men." Notice here, Euphrates. Those four angels in the picture John saw in the vision was a restraining power. The Euphrates River has always served as a natural barrier between the Middle East and the Far East. And only certain times a year that armies could cross because they would bog down just quicksand. But here, the four angels being loose, which were prepared for a month, a day, an hour, a year, and so forth, what does it signify? It's a call to the Far East to get into uniforms. It's to begin to muster together an army. And can you see the Far East getting geared up even tonight? Amen. That's what we covered once before. That's what the Vietnam War was all about. God used this lamb beast over here to get in Vietnam and they bombed Hanoi's there and so forth in 72, and China built 8 airfields there real close to help North Vietnam. But what did she do? She began to gear up for war. She began to gear up for war. That sleeping giant that has slept there for centuries, no one paid any attention much, but she's gearing up for war tonight. But wait till these angels are loose. Wait till these hundreds of thousands of demons are loose. Wait till they go into the Far East there. And it will put an army in uniform like this world's never saw. There's to be a great battle take place, friend. The battle of Armageddon is all the hand of God moving the pieces of puzzle in place. And this sixth trumpet, it loosed the four angels in the river of Euphrates, but what does the sixth vial do? It don't put them in uniform. They're already in uniform by the time the sixth vial is sounded, poured out. It dries up the river and it makes way for them to march right into the Middle East in the valley of Megiddo there, where God will have the great wine press of the wrath of God, and God will walk up and down on those and squish them, so to speak, like squishing out grapes, and the blood will run for 200 miles, John said. Amen in the vision. Now, how many sees the sixth trumpet and the sixth vial? The sixth trumpet, brother and sister, will sound. Amen. And it'll put an army in uniform. But what does the sixth vial do? It loosed those demons. And I'm going to say this, even sounding repetitious. I know I've said it before, but I want to say it again. The sixth vial. When those three frogs come out, those demons-like frogs come out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the... Now, this was a vision John saw, but I'm interpreting it to you tonight by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's those demons. It's this world system that have held in Europe, where that Catholic Church rode that beast that had 10 horns. It was an order. But here are these demons that was confined to a certain area. Is loosed. They come out and they go into the Far East to gear up for war. Amen. Or not to gear them up for war, it's to bring them the cross. It's to work miracles and unite those kings together. Let me tell you something, friend. I've said this before and you know it, but I want to say it again. There's three brands of communism. There's the Russian brand. And there's the Euro brand communism. Then there's the Oriental brand. By the time this vial is poured out, the Russian brand of communism will have completely failed. Amen. And the 10 horns, they will have destroyed. They will have destroyed the Roman Church. Amen. Along in this period here, the pouring out of these vials, that's what it's getting, but we'll get it in the next chapter. You know what? Those 10 horns, they will rise up and hate the horn destroyer. They will have what they call a super brand of communism. And this super brand of communism, it will destroy all religion. This is what God's showing you. It will destroy all religion. Anything, this apostate religious system, amen, this antichrist religious system, those 10 horns, those 10 kings, they will rise up, they'll destroy it, but they won't get to enjoy their brand of communism. Because at the same time, notice one of those demons like frogs, one of those frogs come out of the mouth of the beast. You know what that beast represents? It represents that land area. The people that make up the beast is basically the same people that make up the whore, doesn't it? Amen. But the leaders here, they will be communistic in their heart. And they'll rise up and they'll destroy the Vatican. They'll destroy Rome. They'll destroy religion. They'll destroy the one world church. They'll have a super band of communists. Then that frog will leap out of the mouth of that beast that's enjoying the 10 horns, that's enjoying everything that have destroyed the Catholic Church. Now notice real close here, because I'm passing through this. I'm going to hit a little next service, but I want you to get this. That frog that comes out of the mouth of that beast, that represents that land area that made up those beasts. That frog, which represents demons working miracles, go right into the Far East to stir up and to work miracles and unite all that Far East under one head. Now, do you see it? So these 10 horns that hate the horn that destroyed her, they're going to be having their heyday. But it won't last long. You know why? God will never let a communistic, atheistic people rule the world. So at the same time these 10 kings destroy Rome, destroy religion, by this time the Far East is geared up for war. These demons has gone forth and worked political miracles and united them together and mustered the army together, and they'll march right into the Middle East to fight with these 10 European kings. And those that make up part of that beastly system. Amen, brother. God's getting ready to judge the world. Can you see now? That's why the United States couldn't do any good in Vietnam. Amen. God's got that Far East, the Orientals. They're prepared for a day, an hour, a month. They're prepared for a great battle that'll take place. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. But watch God. John drops in a warning for the bride here. Verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watch and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Thank God for that warning. I would that God people could heed that warning tonight. I would that God people would realize that this hour is close at hand. Amen. This time is at hand when these things, the machinery, have already been set in motion for the last 30 or 40 years. World War I, and even back as far as World War I, World War II, God began to set the end time picture in motion. And especially World War II restored that beast back, gave Israel the land back, and now that sleeping giant, now listen, that sleeping giant in the Far East has been woke up and geared up for war. Brother, you think we ain't in the last days. Tell me how we could have another generation. Tell me now where there's any more time left. And verse 16 it says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That's the great battle of God, you see. You see, when this system won't hold together, these demons are loosed out. Up until the last of that 7-year period, right at the last of that of Daniel's 70 week, that beast there in Europe, the beastly system there holds. In the Far East, they just keep a fussing and keep a grumbling one another and keep a gearing up with war. They think they're gearing up with war to fight one another tonight. But they're not. They're gearing up the war to fight those 10 horns. Amen. But these demons that God will let them, God by His authority, you remember in the 14th chapter where we got the, He swung a sword over the earth. And a voice said, gather together the grapes. Can we read that tonight? Let's get that in the 14th verse. Show you, 14th chapter here. Show you exactly what it is. I keep repeating myself. I want you to see it so bad. Amen. And I'm afraid you're going to say I'm being repetitious. But I want you to notice here in the 14th chapter where he's swinging a sword over the earth. In the 14th chapter, in the 14th verse, it's actually the same thing. It just shows a heavenly vision. It shows Christ. 14th chapter shows Christ. He got control over these powers, and it can't come to pass until the day that He's ordained it to come to pass. Notice in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, meaning he's took his authority to begin to control world condition, to bring it to the end, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, trust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, another version said he swung it over the earth, because if you'll go on the 17th chapter, an angel there reaped and gathered, actually gathered together the grapes. But this is a loosening of the forces, spiritual forces. It's the same thing as those three frogs coming out of the mouth there. Can you see it now? It's actually the same thing. It's a loosening of condition to gather that Far East into the Battle of Armageddon, into Jerusalem there, or not near Jerusalem there, the Valley of Megiddo, where God's going to walk up and down, blood's going to run, and it tells you how far the blood will run. In the 14th chapter here, amen, it says there in that verse, last verse 20 here, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, which is 200 miles, up to the horses' bridle. That's what John saw. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that there'll be blood running for 200 miles that deep, but the amount, it shows what great calamity is taking place. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you see the drying up of the river of Euphrates? Do you see the three frogs coming out of the mouth? Do you see the beast, the vial being poured out upon the seat of the beast? Do you see the chaos that begins to set in? Then, if you see that, there's one more vial. And brother, it's when this vial is poured out, it's poured out whereabouts? Into the air, and a voice says it's finished. And brother, it sets condition, weather condition, there'll be hail begin to fall and begin to beat down everything on the top side of the earth nearly. Amen. Let's just read it here in the 17th verse here of the 16th chapter, this vial. The seventh vial being poured out. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air.
Notice where he poured it out. Into the air. Brother, it means that it's going, everything's going to weather-wise and everything else, which it already has begun to go haywire, you might say. Amen, it really will. And there came a great voice out of the temple saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thundering and lightning. And there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Brother, this is the same earthquake that spoke of under the sixth seal. The same earthquake that spoke of under the sixth trumpet. It's all the same period of time. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. That's Rome, brother. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Notice the judgment's carrying on. It's just a continuation of the carrying on of the judgment of Almighty God. Amen. All right, we'll tie 17th chapter in with all these. These vials, they happen real close together. Again, let me say this. It's like having a brush pile there, and you pour out one bowl of gas on it, and it blazes up big just before it even died down much. You pour another on, until seven bowlfuls of the wrath of God's poured out on the earth to finish up God's wrath. Amen. The world's getting in shape to take place now. And it tells about the Babylon being destroyed, came in remembrance to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of the wrath of God. Now watch, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. I want to say this, friend. There have been very few earthquakes in history where mountains actually disappeared. Now, there's been times in history where there has been mountains cracked. But watch here. When this earthquake takes place, there'll be literally chains of mountains just disappear. There'll be islands that'll disappear. What is God completely reshaping the surface of the earth for a people to step out in the millennial reign? Just like he did in the days of Noah when he sent severe judgment upon the world. Not many of the cities in before the floods ever found anymore. Why? They were covered in mud and so forth, and not many archaeologists ever found much, just a few places. Any of the civilization, the things they did before the flood, why? It was judgment. 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 God destroyed the old world and made way for a new world. Do you see here when that last vial is poured out, there's a great earthquake that'll end all earthquake. Mountain chains like the Blue Ridge Mountain chain through here, different mountain chains, completely disappear. Islands of the sea is found no more. God's wrath and God's judgment. Now listen, as this takes place, notice verse 21, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven." Not only this great earthquake, not only did the sun become black, as we'll get under sixth seal, that not only all these calamities, but hailstones begin to fall out of heaven. Notice the vial was poured out in the air, and a voice said, "It's finished." And watch what happened. Not only nature, all nature went into a... the earth went into convulsion. All nature. I don't know the words to use to express my thoughts here. I don't have the vocabulary to make my thoughts known. But anyway, you can see what happened. Not only the earth began to belch from within. Mountains fell in. Islands disappeared. But not only that, in the rim of the atmosphere, it was affected. Because that's where the vial was poured. Hail began to fall to earth. Such hail like men have never saw before. Notice verse 21, "There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues, for the plagues thereof was exceedingly great." Can you see God's winding this up, judging this nation, judging this world, judging this generation that rejected God? Amen. Do you see that now? Glory be to God. All right, we don't want these vials to, when you read it, we want you to know clearly what it means. Now, there's one more place that records a similar thing, and that's in the 11th chapter. It's the sounding of the seventh trumpet. I want to show you, open up the same time period. But it even add a detail that the 16th chapter doesn't add. It adds a detail there that the 6th chapter or the 16th chapter doesn't add. Let's see the sounding of the trumpet. Now, this trumpet opens up a time period before the vials start, but it carries on into the start of the millennia. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Shows to open up a complete time period there for God to take over the kingdom. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to thee, Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. The same thing, brother, when God began to pour out his wrath, the nation become angry. Amen. Now watch. And the time that the dead should be raised, time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to servants, thy servants, the prophets, and the saints, and to them that fear thy name. Showing they heard the gospel of the 144,000, fear thy name. Small and great, and that thou shouldest destroy them that destroys the earth. Amen. And then this seventh trumpet here, it opened up this time period and it give a detail where God's going to even carry this on when it starts. What this shows you, when it starts, it ain't going to stop till God cleansed the earth, judged the earth, and raised those that were killed during that tribulation period. Raise them up and get ready to start the millennial reign. Amen. But let me get verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen the ark of the testament, and there was lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. What happened under the vial? Earthquake, great hail, thundering. That's why it tells about the day of the Lord. That's why it tells about the earthquake. That's why it tells everything under the sixth seal. That now. The seventh trumpet sound, the temple, the veil in the temple rent, the ark of the covenant seen, that signifies God's mercy has ended, and then the bowls of wrath begin to be poured out. Alright. Now the first one he poured out on the seat of the men. Then it caused great sores. The second turned the sea to blood. The third turned the rivers to blood. The fourth, the sun was smitten. It scorched men. The fifth, that was darkness, confusion, poured out into the seat of the beast. And then the third, the sixth vial, rather, the river of Euphrates is actually dried up, and those that the sixth trumpet put in uniform march into the valley of Megiddo for the battle of Armageddon. And the seventh vial poured out, and the voice said, this is all of it. This is all of it. That's all God's wrath. There's no more of it. When all God's wrath is poured out, what is it? It'll be a cleanser. Cleansed to that extent. Jeremiah 30 said, a time of trouble like has not been. You see, it all takes place right in there, and brother, the hour's here. Amen. Oh, God, we thank you for this tonight, showing us this.